I can.
Okay, so let's continue. So we were discussing, it's been a little while, but we were discussing the, I think the last time we were talking about possible ideas in Reish Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan, Machlokas, and Eish. And basically we were saying, we had two approaches, but basically saying that Reish Lakish requires more of a natural idea of Maisa, that the person's action is endowing the object with emotion, and your action is included, the result is considered your action to the degree that your koach is what is propagating that object. So if I take a knife and I hold it and I thrust it, so obviously the motion of the knife is one with the motion of my body. But so too, if I take an arrow and I shoot it, so the motion of my goof is endowing the arrow with that koach of the string. But if I light a fire, then the fire is propagating on its own. So my maisa would be only the mokom of the hanocha, but not the continuous motion of the eish. And for Rabbi Yochanan, we had two possibilities, I think. One was that he holds, it goes conceptually by the object that you're dealing with. That was, if it's an inanimate object, if it's something like a rock, so then you're only considered to be responsible for the motion that you impart to it, because it doesn't have any of its own motion. But if the thing has a nature like fire, that it does propagate itself, then your setting it is, then all of the then that is considered like, that is how you send fire. That is how you send fire. I think we had a little different thing. I'm trying to remember right now. I'm sorry. Right, so the first way we have for Rabbi Yochanan was that he had a different idea of creating the mazik. That was the idea, right? That just like the motionless knife is not a mazik, but when you set it in motion, it becomes a mazik. So really, your maisa is going to encompass the shame mazik that you create. In other words, if your maisa creates an identity of a cheftza that's a mazik, then to the degree that your maisa brought it about, then its hezek is considered yours. In other words, that's what he was trying to work out, the comparison to arrow. That when you send the arrow, it's not like Reish Lakish. It's not that it's your motion. It's not that your motion is continuously existent in the motion of the arrow. That's a relationship between your guf. That's a maisa in terms of the limited to the maisa guf. Rabbi Yochanan was saying, no, when you create the arrow, when you send the arrow into motion, you're turning it into a functional mazik now. And as far as your action had a certain boundary, a certain quantity of mazik that you created. But whatever that quantity of mazik that you created, all of its hezek is yours. And he says the same thing with a fire. You take a fire and you set it to a field. So you initiated a new entity of a shame mazik in this field, and to the degree that it would be a mazik, all of that hezek is yours. In other words, what's that?
Bor.
It's similar to bor, correct. But it's different because it's a mazik as it's moving. That's what Tosus was was talking about. Tosus was bothered. He says, what do you mean it has no mamish? When Reish Lakish says the Eish has no mamish, he says, the boar also has no mamish. So he says, no, but nothing is mazik like an arrow and has no mamish. You know? But so that was one idea. I mean, okay, granted, that was it's a bit of a step, a bit of a stretch, maybe going a bit of out on a limb. Tosus seemed to be learning more simply that Reish Lakish holds, Rabbi Yochanan holds, that your Maisa includes all of the known outcomes of your all of the known direct outcomes of your Maisa. In other words, the point I'm trying to make is everyone's trying to figure out the limits of your Maisa. When I move something, obviously its motion is considered part of my action. But when I'm moving here and things are happening elsewhere, how do I consider those results to be part of my action? Okay, so Rabbi Yochanan, Reish Lakish insists that it still be directed, said still be directly related to the motion of your guf, and Rabbi Yochanan holds it doesn't need to be that way. Either because of the idea that we were saying that if your action made the cheftza, that is the mazik, then all of its own parameters are considered part of your action, because you brought it to be. That's like we say, konei shamayim v'aretz. See, God is konei shamayim v'aretz. What does it mean? It means he made shamayim v'aretz. Because if you make something, it's like it's yours. So, I don't mean in the sense of momen amazik over here. But, or like Tosus seems to be saying, that it goes by the known...
Isn't it momen amazik?
What's that?
Isn't it momen
amazik? Na'akwent Rabbi Yochanan. It's like it's your ma'isa. Why is it your ma'isa? Because your ma'isa brought about this moving entity, this mazik of motion. So now all of its hezik of that motion is considered back to your initiation. So it's like you set it into motion. But that just goes by that your ma'isa. The result of when I throw something, it's my maisa because it's a definite result of my action. But by Eish, I can also say there's a definite result of my action. So is it limited by the definite result, or is it limited by the actual maisa of your guf? Reish Lakish goes by the maisa of the guf. Rabbi Yochanan says no, that's an arbitrary delineation. We should say your maisa is contained by your ma'isa can extend, is attributed, all of the results are attributed to your ma'isa when we can say definitively that your initial action would bring those all about. Okay? But it comes out, again, I know I mentioned last time the machlokas, the question of akimas piv and hishtachava, right? Bowing and speaking and bowing. And I thought it was an interesting corollary to our sugya, because the Gemara calls it a maisa zuta. So, if you remember, we said it's a maisa zuta because it's a maisa of the guf, but it has no object. So it turns out, as I went further in that Gemara, it turns out that it actually is a very similar and interesting machlokas between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan over there as well. Let me tell you what it is over here. I mean, I'm not trying to do pilpul over here, but it does seem like Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan have a similar approach to this question about Maisa as they do over there by Eish. So listen to this case, okay? So we're talking according to the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan hold that in order to be chayav for Malkus or to be chayav for Achatus, you need to do a Maisa, right? So everybody agrees, the Mishnah says in Krisus, that Megadev, according to the Rabbanan, is not a Maisa. Okay? According to the Rabbanan. Alright? It was Rabbi Akiva who says a Maisa. Maisa Zuta.
Megadev is kidnapping?
Cursing God. Right? So... But there's a question about hishtachava. There's a question about bowing. Okay? Reish Lakish says that bowing is like moving your lips, right? And either you consider that to be a maisa, either you consider them both to be a maisa, or none to be a maisa, right? Now, as we were saying over there, the question is that by saying there's a maisa, is that a measure of your involvement, right? That's that you moved yourself in furtherance of this bad idea. That would be a maisa. That's a maisa zuta, because it's not a maisa that creates something, but it's a maisa that expresses something, expression of your goof. Or do you need when we say that to be chayav chatas has to be an ordinary maisa, so that has to have an object. So that's the machlokes Rabbi Kiva in the Rabbanan. Rabbi Kiva says you'll be chayav even on hishtachava and megadev. And the Rabbanan say by megadev that you're not chayav, because there's no maisa. So, but there's a machlokes that everybody agrees. There's a machlokes Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan about hishtachava. Okay? Second. So now the Gemara says, Shreish Lakish, he's consistent. He holds the Rabbanan always need a real Maisa, a full Maisa, Maisa Gomor, a Maisa that engages another object, right? Not just a Maisa that manipulates your own goof, because it has no other object. But for Rabbi Yochanan, he seems to be in contradiction. Because on the one hand, he says, Megadev is not a Maisa. But on the other hand, he says that Hishtachava is a Maisa. Okay? So the Gemara says, according to the Rabbi Yochanan, what's the difference between Hishtachava and Akima Sefasov? They're both Maisa Zuta. How come Hishtachava is, he holds you'll be Chaya for, but Akima Sefasov by Megadev he holds you won't be Chaya for? Okay, so the Gemara says like this. Omar Rava Shani Megadev Hobel V'yeshno Belev. Okay, that's the first answer. That Megadev is different. Why? Because Megadev, Rava says, you're not really chayev for the words per se, the speech per se. Rashi gives a funny case. Says if a person made up a nickname for his friend with the Shem Hashem, he refers to his friend by the Shem Hashem, and all day long he's cursing his friend with the Shem Hashem, he wouldn't be a Megadev. Because he doesn't have kavana of Birkas Hashem. So in other words, so what does that mean? It means to say you can't reduce the Isser Megadev to any particular Maisa per se. There's no Maisa per se that you can say this Maisa fully encompasses the Isser Megadev. Because there always has to be an element of das that goes along with the maisa in order to be chayev. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan holds, that's not called a maisa isser. In order to be a maisa isser, the maisa has to be synonymous with the isser itself. The maisa itself must be a full description of the isser.
Hishtachava is,
that's what Tosas mentions, even if the guy doesn't have it in mind, even if he doesn't mean to serve it as an idol, but if it isn't a legitimate idol, that doesn't matter. That's a maisa hishtachava, and if you chayav achatas. Even if he's doing it out of yira, it would still be hishtachava, maisa hishtachava b'shogeg. So that's the Gemara's first point, that in order to be considered a maisa that you'll be chayav achatas for, it has to be that the maisa itself is like the concrete form of the iser. If the whole maisa is really only a vehicle to a kavana belev, then the maisa is not per se a maisa of iser. Okay. The opposite could be true, though. You can have a case where you could be over the iser without a maisa, and also be over the iser with a maisa, and then you'll be chayev if you did it by maisa.
And they're saying you aren't chayev for megadev.
So they're saying that you're not chayev achatas for megadev, since Since the whole structure of Megadev doesn't reduce to a Maisa.
The Isser itself has no
Maisa. It needs a Maisa, but that's only to express.
What if you did a B'maisa? Would you be Chayav Fatas?
Yeah, so you always do it B'maisa. But the Maisa itself, you can't say that the Maisa itself is the Isser. Because the Maisa is really an expression only insofar as it's, as it expresses Kavanas Halev. So therefore, really, the Isser is the Kavanas, the attitude that is expressed by the Maisa, but not the Maisa itself. In order to say that you'll be chayav for the Maisa, in order to say you'll be chayav a chatas, it has to be an Isser that can be reduced to Maisa alone. Well, there has to be a Maisa that itself, on its own, in terms of Maisa, is itself the description of the Isser. But you can't say any particular Maisa that on its own describes Megadev, because the person could be saying the Shem Hashem all day long, cursing with the Shem Hashem, cursing the Shem B'Shem, and he was referring to his friend. That would not be a Megadev. That's right. You'll be Chayav Misa. You'll be Chayav Misa, of course. You don't need a Maisa to be Chayav Misa. But there's a special rule by Chatas, the only Chayav a Chatas if it's a done by Maisa. But what the Chiddush of the Gemara is saying is, it doesn't mean that it was done with a Maisa. It means that the doing of the Isser is a Maisa. Okay? So over here, the doing of the Isser is not itself a Maisa. The doing of the Isser is a Kavanas Halev. Sort of like the opposite of a kiyum belev in the mitzvah. But it is possible to have the opposite to be true. And that's the case, like by the Ram mentions by Chametz on Pesach. That there's an Isser by Yirah by Yimotze. Right? That's an Isser. That's a Lav She'ein Bo Maisa. Because he just owned it from before Yontif, and you don't do anything to get rid of it, so the Ram says you're not going to get Malkus. But if you buy it, you'll get Malkus, right? That doesn't contradict this, because it doesn't have to be that the Isser is defined by a Maisa. It doesn't have to be that the Isser is by definition a Maisa. It doesn't mean that you have to be that in order to be over the Isser you need a Maisa. It just needs there to be a Maisa that will definitively express the Isser.
No, it's not
that. What's that?
It
is, because every kone chametz bePesach is definitively over by Yirah by Yimotzeh. Whereas by Megadev,
it's not a Maisa Isser. I mean, it's a Maisa that's Aser.
That's right.
It's not the Maisa Isser, no?
That's what I'm saying. There's a different, it doesn't mean to say, it's true, we're not exactly comparing apples and oranges, because one is a Maisa in terms of Chatas, the other one is in terms of Malkus, but I don't see why they should really be different. But the point is that in order to be considered a Maisa for these Isurim, or at least what the Rambam is saying over there for Malkus, is not that the Isser has to be done by Maisa, because Chametz and Pesach doesn't have to be done on Maisa, right? But if there's a Maisa that itself represents or totally encompasses the Isser in every single case, then I can always identify that Maisa with the Isser. Then if I do that Maisa, it becomes that I did the Lav Bim Maisa.
Even if the real Isser is not the Maisa itself.
That's right. But the Megadev case is the opposite way, saying there is no Maisa that I can say definitively encompasses the Isser. Okay? Right? Okay, good. But anyway, so that's just the beginning of it. So then the Gemara says, that's not really a shayach to us. But here's where the Gemara is very interesting. Now the Gemara says like this. Rabbi Zeira asks the Kasha on this idea. He says, what about the case of Adam's Zomit? Okay, so for whatever reason, Rashi explains, there's a long drasha in Torah's Kohanim that says the Havamina to include Adam Zomim in a certain case of the Kohen Mashiach bringing a carbon, and the Braisa excludes it because it has no Maisa. Okay, that's all we're interested in now. That the Gemara, that the Braisa says Adam Zomim is considered the case of a lav that has no Maisa. Okay, so I think that's one of the exceptions for Malkus. That they say, even though it's lav shem ma'isa, that's one of the exceptions. But the Gemara asks on Rabbi Yochanan, how do you say that Megadef, why did you say Megadef is not a ma'isa? Because Megadef goes by Kavanas Halev, right? In other words, the moving of the lips would be enough to be a ma'isa, correct? The only reason why you're saying Megadef is not a ma'isa is because the moving of the lips, the utterance, is not synonymous with, it doesn't fully describe the Isser. It requires Kavanas Halev also, right? But by Adam Zomim, we don't care what their Kavanas Halev is. That's not an issue, right? They're not chayev for their Kavanas Halev, they're chayev for producing false testimony. So in every single case, when they produce false testimony, they're chayev. We don't go beyond. Not a matter of Kavanah Salih. No, then they're not Zomim. But
if they lied in court. It doesn't matter if they're trying to commit a liar.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what it is. There's no bearing on it. As long as there is a description that I can tell you, lying in court makes you Adam Zomim. So then, according to Rabbi Yochanan, it should be considered a lav sheish b'maisa. Okay, so listen to what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, so Rava comes back and defends Rabbi Yochanan. He says, no. E shani edem zomim ho'il v'yeshno b'kol. There's a call. There's a voice. The call the Rabbi Yochanan lav ma'isil. What does that mean? So Rashi explains. Listen carefully. Iker chiyuvan b'shemiyas kolam lifnei beistin. What is the ikar chiyuv of the Adam Zomim? Is making heard their voice in front of the Beis Din.
Sounds like
a good time. Hu ba. The kol leis be mamish. But a kol has no substance. Hilkach havikim megadef de tali belev. What the heck is he talking about? So once again, he says... by Megadef, he said, it's Akima Sifosayim, which should be a Maisa, just like Ishtachava. Correct? But why did he say that you're pot, that it's not a Maisa? Because there's a component of Kavana that can't be reduced to Maisa. So then the Gemara asks, what about Edom Zomim that has no component of Machshava? It has no component of Kavana. So then it should be considered a Maisa. But the Bryce says it's not a Maisa. So Rava says, no, that is because of a different reason. Because what is the Iker Chiyav of the Adam Zomim? To produce the call, to make their voice heard to the Beis Din. Because if there's no Beis Din to receive the voice, they're not Adam, right? And a call has no mamish. So therefore, Adam Zomim is like Megadef. How does he say it? How does he make that equation? Hilkach havikim megadef to tali b'leiv. So producing the kol to making your voice heard to the Beis Din is the ikar chiyuv of Adam Zomim. The voice has no mamish. For some reason, that's important. And therefore, it's the same din as megadef that requires a kavanas alev. Well, what's the logic and what's the comparison? I mean, what is he saying?
Trying to explain why Edom Zomim is not a
Maisa. But Megadef would be a Maisa if it wasn't for Kavanas Halev. There's no Kavanas Halev element by Edom Zomim, so for that reason it should be a Maisa. But then he says, no, it's not a Maisa because they're really chayev for producing a call to making their voice heard to Beis Din. And the voice that they produce has no mamish. Therefore, they're pater. Therefore, it's not considered the Maisa. I'm sorry. They're chayv, but it's not considered a ma'isa. For whatever hava mina they thought that it would be included for, it's excluded because it has no ma'isa. Not a ma'isa. Okay. So in other words, in terms of approaching this problem, if you want to approaching the problem with our approach is to think about ma'isa in a particular way, in terms of the action of the gavra, and in terms of producing a result. Okay. So the Megadef has no entity that he's producing. So he's fully going to be considered a Maisa on what he's doing in his own, right? His own manipulation of his guf. It's a different kind of an Isser. It's an Isser not that doesn't produce a Cheftza. It's an Isser that is an expression of the person's own guf, so like ishtachava. So 1 second. So by megadef, the Gemara says it's not really, you can't really and that's what we were calling a ma'isa zuta, a ma'isa that doesn't have any product. It expresses something, but it doesn't have any product. So the Gemara says by megadef is not a ma'isa because there's no particular expression with the words per se. It really goes by the kavanas halev. But by Adam Zomimim, so that, in other words, we're negating by saying he's not really doing Maisa. What he's doing is not Maisa. Right? Because what he's really doing in terms of the Isser is a certain Kavanas Halev. And Kavanas Halev is not Maisa. But by Adam Zomimim, we can't say, in terms of what he's doing, in terms of his own motion, it definitely is considered Maisa. Right, because there's no kavanas halev element of it. So how are we getting around the problem of ma'isa then? So it can only be in the result. Correct. So it's true there's no kol. It's true that you're producing a kol and the kol has no mamish, but who cares? That should be a ma'isa zuta, like ishtachava.
I understand why it's not.
Correct. So that's what you have to look carefully at what Rashi is explaining. He says, "Iker chiyuvan bishmias kolam lifnei based in who." What really is he chayev? By hishtachava, he's chayev for the ma'isa haguf itself. But by Adam Zomim, he's not chayev for the ma'isa per se. Of Akimas Sifasayim, he's chayev for producing a cheftza of kol to the basin. So that really is the format of Maisa in terms of producing something. But what he's producing has no mamish, so it can't be considered a Maisa. In other words, if we're judging the Isser in the framework of Maisa Zuta, that's the framework of saying it's a different kind of a Maisa. It's a Maisa simply of the guf. It's a Maisa of expression in terms of the guf. Hishtachava is a Maisa of expression of obedience or subservience. So that Maisa per se of your own guf is the very description of the Isser. So if the very description of the Isser is in terms of Maisa Zuta, then you'll be chayiv for Maisa Zuta. But Maisa Zuta means it's a Maisa that doesn't have any object, doesn't have any product. That's the very definition of Maisa Zuta. Over here, there is a product that the Maisa is describing. The product is producing a cheftza of kol. Megadef is not chayiv for producing any cheftza. He's not chayiv because he created something. He's chayev simply because of the reflection of it on himself. The guy who's a mishtachaveh is not chayev because he created something. It's because his ma'isa haguf reflects something or demonstrates something. Adam Zomim are not chayev for demonstrating something. They're chayev for actually bringing something into existence. But that which they're bringing into existence has no mamish. So it will fail in terms of technically being a Maisa. Correct. In other words, the reason why maisa, why hishtachava or megadef in theory would have been a maisa, is because that's the general question. When we say that you have to do a maisa in order to be chayav, does that mean it always has to be a general kind of a maisa where there's a product, or does it mean simply that the iser can be framed in terms of expression of the guf? If the iser is a type of, there are different kinds of isurim. If the iser is in terms of limited, the iser itself is limited to an iser of expression, then of the guf, then I can be chayav because there is an action of the guf that is associated with that expression. Now, it doesn't mean to say, this is, goes back to the general concept that we had before. What does it mean that you need to do a mice in order to be chayav? Is it that the Torah is requiring an actual external manifestation of what you did? And until your mice reaches the plane of altering the status quo, then you're not considered to have entered into a realm that's serious enough to make you chayav chatas, right? Then maisa zuta is just categorically excluded from chatas, or it simply means that as long as the sin is limited to machshava or limited to something that is not perceptible, there's no way that the Torah will impose a chatas on you. But as long as the chait itself is one that is defined by an expression, and you do that expression, then you're going to be chayav. Okay. So if the Torah says the iser is expression of the guf, then there's no problem to say the chayav, because that is the iser. You did engage it with your body positively. It wasn't an internal kind of a thing. It wasn't that it was internal, right? So you brought this to expression, and therefore you were osek in the iser.
That's
like yishtachava. Okay. The problem is like this: when the iser is defined, though, in the framework of actual maisa, because it's defined not as an expression of the guf, it's defined in the framework of creating an outward, an actual manifestation, an actual change, altering the status quo by producing something that is in reality like ksiva, right? But under the framework, under the rules of maisa, the product is not related to your action, because maisa, in order to say that it's something you did physically, there has to be a physical component to the product. Then it turns out you fall into a loophole. In other words, what I'm trying to say is like this: that in order to make you chayev for maisa, in the framework of producing something, we have to be able to say that there's a reality that your maisa is considered to be creating that chefza. So if the iser is ksiva, right? So I can say, okay, you're physically manipulating the pen, and with that physical manipulation, there's produced a physical cheftz of ksav. So I can say you did a maisa of ksiva, right? Because you created the ksav with your action. Your asiya, you had an action, and your action produced a cheftza. In order to, those are the most basic elements of maisa. That you have an action, and your action creates something. Okay? That's a maisa gomer. What Rava is proposing for Rabbi Yochanan is, you can either have maisa zuta, You can have Maisa Gomor, but there's nothing in between. So if the Torah says, don't produce coal in front of a Beis Din, it's not Maisa Zuta, because it's not just an expression of your guf, but it hasn't yet risen to the level that I can say my Maisa of Akima Sifosayim created a Cheftza either. So it just falls into a no man's land. It's just the law of Sheim Bo Maisa. Because since it demands producing the coal, I can't say it's simply an expression of my guf like Hishtachava. But since the coal is not a Cheftza, I can't say I did a true Maisa with my Akima Sefasayim. So it comes out that the Isser is disjointed. The Maisa and the Cheftza don't relate in the framework of Maisa.
Is that what you did on Maisa Zuta?
No.
Why?
Maisa Zuta is only when the
Sefasayim and there's no Kala.
Yeah, but there's no Isser in the Akima Sefasayim.
Right.
That's his point. I'll be chayev for a Maisa Zuta when the Maisa Zuta is the Isser. But here the Isser is not Maisa Zuta. Here the Isser is to be mashmia the call to the Beis Din. But that is not described by any Maisa anymore. Because since the call, that's why it's important that the call has no mamish. If the call had a mamish, so then I can say, well, my Akima Sifosayim is my action, it produced the Cheftza. That's a Maisa Gamor. Problem over here is it produced a nothing. So now it just comes out, my body is moving. There's some abstract thing that we're calling the coal, but we can't call you to be the osa of a cheftza of coal, because there's no such thing as a cheftza of coal. But it's that very cheftza of coal that you're chayav for. So it turns out that you're sort of like a gorem of a cheftza of a coal. That's not a maisa. It's lacking the product. If a guy brought a ksav, if the Edom brought a ksav, a false shtar, that would be different. If they wrote a shtar, that would be different. Because that's a real chafzo. So therefore, it's considered a lav she'en bo maisa.
What's the isser then? I'm saying, let's say it was a shtar. Let's say he brought a shtar. It's called making it fake. What's the isser?
Okay, so one second. So hold on to the shtar question, because the Gemara has a better question. Okay, one more step. Okay, it's really interesting. One more, yeah. Okay, so let's take it one more step. So now the Gemara has a powerful question. Powerful question. There is an isser of muzzling your animal while it's working. While it's doing disha. Can't muzzle your animal while it's doing disha. And there's an isser to make animals of different species work together. Like plow a field with two animals hitched to the plow. A horse and a donkey. Okay? Let's say you do both with your voice. As the animal is doing disha, it's about to eat, you yell at it. And you stop it from eating. Or the animals are hooked up and you yell at them and you get them to run. Okay? Guess what? Rabbi Yochanan says you're chayev and Reish Lakish says you're pater. So the Gemara says that's exactly like Edom Zalman. The Isser is to be mashmiya the kol, right? That kol has no mamish. How could Rabbi Yochanan say you're chayev according to you? Okay? You'll be chayev for los sachs. You'll be chayev malchus for los sachs. I'm sure bedisho. And you'll be chayev malchus for kiloyim. So the Gemara is comparing maisa, whether it's by the chi of chatas or whether it's by the iser of malchus. Right, malchus also requires maisa. So Rava to the rescue. Listen to this. This is fantastic. Ela omar Rava shani edem zomim. He has to revise his answer. Ho'ol v'yeshnon b'ri'iyah. Or b'raya. I'm not sure exactly what the proper b'ri'iyah seems like Rashi's learning. He said like this. Iker chiyuva bo ayidei Hariya Shemeidin Shiro. Really, the ikur of the Adam Zomim is that they're being made on the sight that they saw. Uriya ain bo mamish.
So they're just expressing something that has no mamish. They're referring back to something that has no mamish.
The Riya lace bo mamish.
Who cares about that? That's weird.
Okay, so before we get to that, let's take the short case for a minute. See that's what I found very interesting. Yeah.
So then they're saying so Ro does have.
Ah. So now it comes. Now it seems like he's saying Cole does have mamish. I mean, how could they argue about whether Cole has a mamish or not?
And then he's saying the only reason that either the Vagadev and the Edom Zolomon don't have.
This is all on Samachem and Bezo. If you're interested in following along.
He's saying the only reason they don't have a Maisa or a Vagadev and is because they're. Or is he saying Edom Zolomon the only reason they have something is because they're heard? Or.
So now it sounds like he's retracting his initial answer. His initial answer was Adam Zomim are chayev because of Kol and Kol Leis Be Mamish. But now you have these two cases with the Shor and the Kilayim and Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan says you're chayev, Reish Lakish says you're potter. So it seems over there Kol is considered to have a Mamish.
So now Rabbi is revising Adam Zomim to say that the reason you're chayev is because the Torah says it needs to be heard.
No. Adam Zomim is changing. Now he says, why are Adam Zomim chayev? It's because of the Re'iya that they saw. And the Re'iya has no mamish. Or the Re'iya that they claim to have seen. And that Re'iya has no mamish.
Meaning it's the idea that they're presenting to the Beis Din that they're being. It's
correct. So one second. So let's go back to the Shor case.
Why does that imply that the Kol is mamish?
My question. Does it imply that or not? Because we said before, Kol has no mamish. And that's why they're potter. But then we see that they're chayev for the yelling at the cows and yelling at the kilayim. Mm-hmm. So now he says, no, it's because the re'iya has no mamish. Does that mean that the kol has mamish? Yeah.
But then that would mean that you would say that Megadev and Ezomen are the same.
Yeah, except for the kav. No. Megadev is on its own because it has.
Because they're both kavanah.
No, it doesn't matter about kavanah. Let's deal with the cows first, okay, the animals first. So what do you say about the animals? And that's what intrigued me, because that itself is a machlokas reish lakish and Rav Yochanan. Okay? So that seems to me to be a similar kind of a question that we're dealing with by Eish. That when the person moves his lips, right, when he produces the call through his akima sefasayim, that's his maisa. His maisa is the akima sefasayim. It's the moving of his larynx, whatever you want to say called, right? That has a definite outcome to him. He knows that his animal is conditioned in a certain way, that when he yells at the animal, it stops or goes, depending on the case. Okay. So in effect, he's controlling the movements of a real entity with his voice, with his lips, with the moving of his lips.
Kind of synonymous, like a voice activated, whatever.
Right, but it's similar to it's similar in its setup to the Eish in my mind. Similar that Rabbi Yochanan again is willing to give the identity of Maisa to that which is extended from the physical act. Mm-hmm. That which is set in motion in a definitive way from his maisa. So since he knows, since his animal is trained, right, he knows that when he yells at it, it stops eating from the food. And when he yells at them, he'll get them to run and move, right? So then, his akima sefosayim is considered to be the maisa of their motion. He doesn't need it to be like Reish Lakish, that there's a real connection between his maisa and the outcome maisa. Reish Lakish says it's not a maisa, because his maisa of akima sefosayim is not empowering the animals in terms of the koach from his lips. It's not that his lips are pushing them. So it's just that he is creating, or he is setting in motion, or he's setting in motion a known phenomenon that his voice controls their action. So that, in a similar sense, you see again that Reish Lakish won't go beyond the physical description of Maisa. He sticks with the physical description of Maisa. When is it Maisa? Only when I can relate in a direct way your motion to its motion. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan is willing to conceptualize Maisa a little bit further and say, no, it doesn't have to be that your Maisa is moving that thing in the framework of action, the framework of mechanics. It could even be in the framework of the known, of the givens. As long as I have this situation that I know that the nature of this animal is it will stop eating when I yell at it, or they'll run when I yell at them, then my Maisa is considered to be extended to their action too. My Maisa, their action is considered to be part of my Maisa, because it's included in that, it's definitively included in, I know that when I do that, this reaction will occur. So that's enough to be considered my Maisa.
To the level of Maisa.
According to Reish Lakish, it would be Grama. If I would yell at the cow and stop eating, that's a Grama.
Because
right. My Maisa terminated with no action.
Right.
My physical Maisa of Akima Sefasayim produced a nothing, a call, at least be mamish. So it produced something that in turn maybe motivated this animal to move. But that's a Grama. If the call had a mamish, it would be like I shot an arrow at the thing. If I threw a rock at the thing, that would be different. But I did something that has no physical cheftza, so that's it. That maisa terminates. Now you'll say that created something, that made the animal do something, so that's a grama to my maisa.
So, if there's a maisa to begin with, so it's not mamish,
the call. That's why it doesn't, I mean, there's a maisa of your goof, and that's all. But there's no mice in terms of a product.
Wait.
So, I mean, be like just waving your arms up and down and getting the animal to move.
Or if you're going to say that the coal, even though there's no mamish to it, since you actually produce something by doing that, that's going to be considered a mice now?
He doesn't care about the intermediary thing. He's saying it doesn't matter that the intermediary thing doesn't have a mamish.
Uh-huh.
That's not how we that's only important if we're defining Maisa in a very mechanical way,
mm-hmm.
that the energy that I'm giving energy to a thing, so therefore its motion is part of my motion because I'm giving it the energy to move.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at Maisa, you say, where does my Maisa end? What does my Maisa include? Not the things in terms of mechanics, but given the thing's nature, that I know that this, that when I do this, it will do that, then that will be included in my Maisa. Then its action is included in my Maisa because it's a given from the situation. It's contained in this situation. I know that that's how I can manipulate this cheftza with my voice, with the moving of my lips. If it was telepathy, it wouldn't be because there was no Maisa at all. It has to be a Maisa of the goof.
I
know now in this framework. The motion of my lips is definitively the manipulation of that animal.
Right, it doesn't matter how you did it.
Reish Lakish requires, it always works through the mechanics of Maisa. Rabbi Yochanan says you have to conceptualize a little bit more. And it doesn't have to be through the physical Maisa. So what is the answer to Adam Zomim? It seems like he's saying, like Chaim is saying, that, I mean, you have to see the interpretation of this. I mean, it's a little bit of an interpretation to say what Chaim is saying, but I think it's good. In other words, he's saying that by Adam Zomim, it's not really the Hashmoas HaKol to the Beis Din, it is producing a certain image of what you saw to them. That image, there's no Maisa involved in that whole thing. You're conjuring an image to them of what you claim transpired. that that final thing is impossible to include into Maisa. All you can say is your gorem, them to think about a certain thing.
Right.
If the mice, if there was a technical Maisa of producing this the hashmos I call them for them to hear it, then he's saying you would be chayev. But that's not. You really chayev for convincing them of an idea, of giving them an idea. That you can only be a gorim. So then even the shtar, maybe you would say, is the same thing.
Why?
Because you're just giving them an idea.
Oh,
ultimately, what are you chayev for? You're chayev for convincing them, of, for them to have a certain concept that
that's
is false.
Really, that's really the isser.
That's really the isser. That you can't reduce that to Maisa. Well, you can say you can do a lot of things, but ultimately it's on their own. They're going to draw a certain image from that, a certain idea from that. You can only provide the fodder. You can only provide the material,
mm-hmm.
but you can't really say that you made that.
Wait. So then, what's the